Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on this hour, CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, also the top five. Top five today assembled by intern Scotty J. Top five summer songs. We'll get to that later on. Jen Lane will be here. And we're going to talk to... Can we give what your friend's name, Lisa, your friend? I have to be not Lisa Goddard. I think we're going to have to just refer to her as not Lisa Goddard.
Lisa not Goddard.
Lisa not Goddard. We had this conversation yesterday about Sarah's friend Lisa, who is a well-proportioned girl. And by that, I do not mean the problem now is that everything has become code for ugly or fat. It does everything like things that you would traditionally use as some sort of a compliment to a girl. She's got a pretty face. She's got curves in all the right place. All these things have just been appropriated by hideous women now. So you really have to clarify when you actually mean these statements, not in a figurative sense. So we're talking about Sarah's friend Lisa, who we talked about a little bit yesterday, who is a very lovely girl who is on the verge of disfiguring.
You sound like she's going to cut off her arm or something.
Well, I'm not saying. I'm just saying. You know, she's on the verge of ruining, I believe, a very natural and wonderful asset. And
you're lucky that she's kind of sick today, that I was able to convince her to come on the show.
Yeah.
She's a little loopy.
So she'll be talking to us later on today about that. Let's see. This is from, where are my sounds with the whole thing and the deal with the... this is from Aaron.
Like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Aaron said, subject line is, you're getting people fired. Rick, here I am at work processing some employee terminations. Good times. I noticed a rather large amount of Portland employees getting fired on 666. I'm checking the reasons for termination, and many, many have listed left work without permission. I check their age, right smack dab within that their target demo. Be proud, good sir, be proud. The Rick Emerson Show, it'll get your ass fired. By the way, thanks to you, every time I get a call from Florida, I hear and sometimes hum the freaking Miami Vice theme. That's from Aaron. There you go. So here's what we got to get done in this segment. I got to get these calls for people are calling for reasons unknown to me. We will get done with these calls. We will talk. Believe me when I say that I don't really want to do this, but we will wade hip deep into the mystery something. Listen, hear me out. Listen. You've somehow made me the bad guy here, as though it's my fault that no one can guess it, as though I have somehow failed by picking a sound.
You're so giddy about it.
I'm not giddy. Maybe I'm just giddy with exhaustion over the whole thing. I mean, Rick, can I just tell you this? I don't typically, the people don't typically spot me a lot. I'm not a recognizable type of guy. A, because I'm just some idiot. And B, you know, there's certain people, like you see, you know, Matt Dillon. You're Matt Dillon, you know. You see whoever, Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames! You see me, you're just like, yeah, you just let me go by. Who cares? Why would you take 10 seconds out of your life and put yourself 30 seconds closer to death by coming over to talk to me? I believe your priorities are seriously skewed if you're doing that. Last night, though, man, three people inside of, like, 2 minutes. Goddamn mystery sound. So here's what we're going to do. We are going to go through these calls. Then, be very clear about this, then we are going to take some clarifying questions about this bane on my house, the mystery sound.
And then we're going to stop talking about it for today?
Yes. Okay. Yes, Sarah, yes, 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 sweet Jesus, we will stop talking about it.
Is there a time limit on this discussion?
Today?
Yes.
Well, three, I would imagine.
Oh.
No, I thought you meant between now and when we have to go.
Well, like this segment. We're trying to get it done in this segment.
I mean, we'll do
no more than one segment.
You have like 12 minutes.
Okay. I got to do these other things. So we will do some clarifying questions. Give me an example of a clarifying question, Sarah, so people know what kind of thing. One of the clarifying questions cannot be, what is the mystery sound? So just to head that off at the pass, because I know there's some wiseacre picking up the phone right now. So give me an example, Sarah, of what someone might ask as a clarifying question about the mystery sound.
Rick, is the mystery sound made from some kind of musical instrument?
See, that's perfect. Right there. There you go. All right. And then we have news about the woman who hit Sarah's car, who's going to be the subject of scorn and mockery next week when she goes to her court appearance, whether she knows it or not. All right.
I wonder if she's found out or not
yet. I don't think it'll be easy to hide the big Marty Tower as we're doing the broadcast as she does the walk of shame up the steps.
I hope it's a hanging judge.
And it's right down the street, man.
Down the street.
And here's the thing. A, it's right down the street. B, we know when you have to be there. C, C, it's right down the street. D, we have a mole on the inside who's told us what your case number is and when exactly you have to be at court. And E, it's right down the street. So the, you may run, but you will not hide. You will not escape us. You will not avoid us in any way. We will be there. All right. Let's see. What are we doing here? This is Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good.
How can I help you, Steve?
I'm going to end this mystery sound thing.
All right. I'm bracing myself for it. Wait, hold on. Let me grab the
spinner from the Game of Life.
Shut your mouth.
I was going to do that as ha-ha, but you beat me to it.
All right.
No, I have the answer.
All right.
Are you prepared?
Wait, hold on. Let me sit down. Okay. Wait, I'm bracing myself for it now. Why don't you go ahead and unleash that gas?
Oh, my God. And then the connection went dead.
Here's how I know that you're wrong, by the way. I know you're wrong because you're so convinced that... I don't even know what you're going to guess. I know you're wrong because you're so convinced that you're right. All of these emails... Let me just... Before you even give your answer, Steve, let me give you this. Here we go. I'm going to read this to you. Rick, damn you to hell. You have kept me awake for many nights thinking about this so-called mystery sound. It is a mystery sound no longer. And then this guy, like everybody, by the way, encloses his home phone number and address so I can, quote, mail me my prize as I have deduced the sound. It is, wait for it, not a spinner on the Game of Life. It is the, Sarah, what is the other most frequently guessed thing?
Pop-O-Matic?
No, it's, no, don't be,
oh, the door thingy.
It's a little springy thing at the bottom of a door that hits the wall. It's neither of those things. So here is, that's how I know that you're wrong, because you are confident in your correctness. Go ahead, give me the guess.
Well, if I'm right, will I forever be known as Mystery Sound Steve and that sound must accompany any email?
Do you really want that to be the case?
Because it will continue to haunt people, if I am right, yes.
That's a good prize.
That really is a pretty good prize, and I gotta say, I admire your spunk.
So the person who guesses it, that's their sound.
You would then theoretically be Mystery Sound Steve, and here's how you would be introduced. Let's go to the folds. It's Mystery Sound Steve. That's fantastic. All right, what do you got? What's your guess?
That's the hand crank on a infant swing.
You are so goddamn wrong. You are so wrong. You could not be more wrong if your name was Wrongy Wrongerstein.
Oh, I'm broken.
No. You got nothing.
All right, well, I'm going to go hang my head in shame.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Bye now. Okay. They don't even say goodbye anymore. They just kind of, it's just the slow sound of the phone being placed in the cradle and then the bottle of lye coming out from under the sink. All right. Am I really taking a cockfighting call? Well, I guess there's only one way to... hello, hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
This is Eileen.
Hi, Eileen. How are you?
Fine. I want to be Indonesian, Eileen.
You want to be... Okay, look.
I believe that position is open.
Everybody doesn't get to just call up and pick their own nickname today. It is... Oh, fine,
well,
you can be Indonesian Eileen. Get off my back!
Yeah.
Okay,
well,
what do you...
I want you to know that in Indonesia, the number one illegal but most popular sport is cockfighting.
Okay, why?
And everybody has their own chicken at home that they strap with razor blades and fight at the local place.
It gives people
there's
hope.
Blood and chickens everywhere in Indonesia.
I'm sorry. I was distracted by the powder dry wit of Tim Riley there for a second. Okay. And so you're calling, why are you calling about this?
Bird flu. This is the whole reason for the bird flu. And why everybody's getting it into
me. Bird flu comes from cockfighting.
Blood, chicken blood.
What kind of blood?
Chicken.
Okay. So that makes a whole lot of sense now that I think about it.
It could be cock blood. I don't know.
Please, okay, we're going to back up from that on-ramp and off-ramp. We're going to stay on the highway now. So this could be cockfighting, and then the blood...
From the birds.
Yes, from the birds. Yes, sweet Jesus.
All over the place. You got the birds at home that are healing from their stabbing, dirty wounds. And
okay, you're taking way too much... there's like a visceral pleasure in your voice.
Have I overthought this one, or what?
Have you what?
Have I overthought this cause?
No, it's fine. It makes perfect sense. In fact, here's what it is. I am actually going to axe Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio about that. I'm going to ask him whether or not that is true. But, you know, that does make perfect sense because they are birds. whose feet are strapped with sort of a killing pokey knife things. And then they, you know, they hack at each other, and then whatever. There was a whole episode of The Shield about it. From that, I have,
I've seen it.
Okay,
I've seen it going.
All right,
it's
we have
nice.
To. Okay. All right. Well, thank you for. And do you know this because you went to Indonesia?
5 times.
Why?
Well, I went to Bali, and that was very, very nice.
What is there in Bali? Isn't Bali, everybody just, they spend their time doing synchronized dances covered in beads and singing about stuff? Isn't that the whole thing there?
Yeah, it's very nice. It truly is. There's also nice beaches. And
okay.
It's good.
Not anymore.
Not yeah. anymore.
The beaches are somewhat larger now.
Yep. Everything's right. been blown up now. So
they still offer the Travelocity cockfighting package.
Okay, we have to go now, Eileen.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye now.
I like her.
I'm all worn out now. Do we just get an IM? Wait, hold on. Wait. Say, okay, I do not know the content of this instant message. You just got texted, right?
Yes.
Okay. My guess is someone's canceling.
Yes.
Is someone canceling their appearance? Is it Jen Lane?
Yes, but I saw Bada-bing! Her. I saw her last night and told her to be a good girl. I'm like, now don't go getting too drunk, lady.
Yeah.
You can come on the show. No,
yeah,
she's,
what
she's
are the
actually
odds of that?
Sick. Uh-huh. She's sick.
Okay.
I believe her. She doesn't lie.
Did you give her the bird flu?
Maybe I did.
She just got back from Indonesia.
Seriously.
I did go to a few cockfights in New York.
That must have been off-Broadway.
I wish I was dead. All right, 503-733-2970.
Your mystery sound time is running out.
Quiet, I'm taking a moment of peaceful contemplation. Okay. Taking a moment. All right, 503-733-2970. And if you get it wrong, again... Every time you get the sound wrong today, that's going to be your punishment. You'll get the chung. It's 503-733-2970. I don't even know what the hell we're doing now.
This well, now guest, we don't have a guest, this, so we can this do this longer.
Is it a winding timer for a cockfight? Yes, that's exactly what it is. Jerry?
Yes.
No. No and no.
No, no and no. Three
no.
times no?
No.
Oh, so do I have to hang my head in shame 3 times?
All right, thank you. All right. It's 503-733-2970. All right. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
You have seriously lost it.
I'm just...
No, you're all crazy, like.
Okay.
It's the second day of summer.
Clearly. And the fourth day of the radon leak in the studio.
Here at the station that reaches the beaches.
Yes, that... Thank you. All right. You know, here's the embarrassing thing about that phrase, the city that reaches the beaches.
I've worked at like 6 days.
I was just going to say, A, I know that that comes from experience.
Them, and
that
half of them don't reach the beaches.
That's not a theoretical positioning statement right there. That is a, that's a whole lot of, that's like K-Hey. Those aren't fake call letters. Like, I knew, as soon as you told me you worked at K-Hey, I knew you weren't joking. I knew that was an actual slice of Tim Riley's life.
I still have the jacket.
The K-Hey jacket?
Should I wear it tomorrow?
Oh. Is it satin?
It's white satin.
That's the best thing ever. You got to bring it in.
I'll bring it in more.
Seriously. We need a photo of you in the satin K-Hey jacket. Oh, it's genius. That's like that shirt I've got where it's like the OK95. And it, like it's. Have you ever seen that shirt that when I was a CHR jock and it looks like spinner art from the mall? It's like a white, like a paper-thin shirt you could read through. And then it's got everything is like a fluorescent orange. It's like splattery fluorescent orange paint with like a huge clip art radio in the middle of it. With like, and you know it's rocking because the music notes coming out are jagged around the edges. It's like they can't even, like the rock, you know, like the treble clef sign can't hold the rock inside. And then it says in huge letters, we're going ballistic, completely misspelled, one L. The shirts cost like $2,500. It's genius. All right. Sir, what am I doing?
I don't know.
Okay.
You have 2 more minutes to talk about the business.
I don't have time now. So here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to play the Week in Geek. For the love of God. Play the Week in Geek, which is now only 4 days old. Everything in it's going to be updated.
Friend.
Here's the really bad part about the Week in Geek is I believe that one because the Week in Geek is the thing we normally play on Mondays, and it tells you all of the geek events that are coming up in a given 5-day period. The really damnable misery of this one is I've forgotten to do it for 3 days in a row, so A, I look like a bad friend, and B, I do believe that the main item Aaron talks about in the Week in Geek is a fundraiser for battered women, which you will now no longer be able to go to because I think it was yesterday.
Oh.
So
it'll be back next year.
So there you go. So what can you do? It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. So here's what we should do here. Let me just, with the whole...
I have 27 voicemails. Okay. I hate checking them.
All right. So we're going to play the Week in Geek.
Will you check my voicemails for me?
Okay. And play the Week in Geek. Then we're going to take a break. We'll come back. We have CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy, who's going to weigh in on avian flu vis-a-vis cockfighting. What else is he? No, I got to play the Week in Geek. No, we're just going to do that into the break. We'll just do that into the liner out or whatever you would normally do. Tim just left the room. So we'll play the Week in Geek. We'll break. We'll come back. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy is going to be here. We got the top five coming up. Later on, we'll be talking to Lisa Not Goddard about a tattoo that she's thinking about getting in a very ill-advised place. We'll be having today's installment of News That Hurts, and we got that song about chicks who cut themselves. Plus, we will let you do clarifying questions about the mystery sound, and we'll find out the latest on the woman who hit Sarah Dillon's car. You stay there. Back after this. Here's your Week in Geek.
And now, the Rick Emerson Show presents The Week in Geek.
Hey, this is Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, and this is your Week in Geek.
Fatality.
Starting to feel like 1999 all over again as Amazon.com begins to sell groceries to their website, which may sound like a good idea, but let me tell you something. When your friendly neighborhood geek is on hour 9 of Elder Scrolls 4, the last thing I want to do is wait 24 hours for my Mountain Dew and Hasty Doritos to show up. So that's not going to work.
Fatality.
Good news for all my fellow dice tossers out there. Wizards of the Coast has finally wised up, but is now allowing all of their books to be available in PDF format for the small price of, wait a minute, for $30. And they're copy protected, and you can't print them out. Gamer, please, just go down to your bookstore and buy them. Screw you, Wizards of the Coast.
Friendship.
Finally, on June 23rd, Cinema 21 will be showing a charity event screening of the Joss Whedon film Serenity. For more details, you can check out serenitynow.pdxbrowncoats.com or check out geekinthecity.com for more details. I'm Aaron Duran of geekinthecity.com, and this has been The Week in Pussy.
The Week in Geek. Only from The Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.
Moving on. Hi there. No, no, I'm not. Baby, you know you're the only one for me. You know Rick loves you, baby.
Yeah, after a couple weeks, I would be back to this. You know that.
Yeah.
For anybody.
Totally. We're talking about Kristen Bowie, who was in the studio taking it. Not really. No one could take your place. But she was attempting
she
to
was
fill
very,
your stylish shoes.
I was very appreciative that she came in and filled in for me.
She kept the show running pretty smoothly, but I think that's because she was... I'm not saying she was intimidated or whatever, but I think she was just very... She was very conscious of, like, wanting to do a good job. And so when in doubt, she would just turn my mic off and start the commercial break. Like
it was like Mussolini was running the board.
I would just be talking along.
And,
seriously, I'd be like, so anyway, coming up, we're going to be doing... You know, and also... And then it would be gone. And then, just like, you would hear Motorhead, and then, like, the commercials would start. And then it would, like an ad for Vitalis, and it was nothing. So, it's 503-7332... 970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up, we played Week in Geek, right?
Yes.
Excellent. All right, here's what we got. We got Ed McCarthy, who was early today. Fantastic. Was Laura Caviezel doing the booking at CNN today?
No, it was this cranky, this nice man, gentleman.
But so she was not doing the booking, and Ed McCarthy is not only here, but early. It's all very puzzling. I'm what, sister?
Nothing.
Okay. All right, I'm going to spread a little rumor that you and Richard are having you and Richard at CNN. You and Ed McCarthy are having some sort of torrid
affair.
No,
Richard and I, well, because I haven't talked to Richard very much. It was very awkward.
Richard Guest?
No. Moving on. No.
Right
Thank you.
Posterior.
Okay. Coming up, we will apologize repeatedly for the terrible execution of this radio program on a daily basis.
Especially today.
The constant underwhelming of the audience.
Our guests don't even want to show up.
Lowering of the bar. It's 503-733-2970. We'll talk to Sarah's friend Lisa Not Goddard about the tattoo she's got. We got the top five summer songs as picked by Scotty J. And we'll get to the song written by a listener. Talk about chicks who cut themselves. So that's hot. 503-733-2970. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. It's CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy.
Well.
Joining us now. How are you? You know what you are, Ed, and I mean this in a positive way, not in a you're fat way, because I don't really actually know whether you're fat or not. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. But you know what you are? You're jolly. You're a jolly sounding man. You're jocular.
We try to be.
No, I'm just, you, it doesn't matter. I get the feeling that literally your feet could be dipped in kerosene and set ablaze, and your head could be covered in fire ants, and you would still, you know, Ed McCarthy, Rick, how you go? And you
just, I don't think so. I don't think we'd go that far.
Nothing gets you down, man. I want to know what you got some sort of attitudinal Teflon that they dip you in, because you are fantastic sounding every day.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice. Yeah, I try to be, and I try to always be in an up mood. You know, we were laughing today. I said, yeah, I called early today because I wanted to make up for some of that lost time yesterday. Yes, you know?
The amazing thing is that Lisa Goddard called on time. You called early, and Laura Cavizza wasn't doing the booking. Now, I'm not saying those things are related. I'm merely making an observation about two disparate facts. They may, in fact, be wholly and completely without correlation.
I got this call about 2 minutes after you called today.
Fantastic.
Rich Benson was filling in today.
Rich, apparently, he's a can-do guy. He's an American, Ed.
That's right.
Now, I know you have to try to feign your excitement today because you are, in fact, covering the World Cup.
Yeah, I know.
Do you guys have to draw straws or something for this? Because Roop was talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
Then there was, like, Costantini.
Well.
Now it's you. Are we playing in the World Cup still?
No, we're out. We're gone.
I'm reading now from the CNN copy. Listen, I'm reading now off the page. This is the CNN copy they sent to me today. It's a critical day for the U.S. in the World Cup.
Yeah, it's critical. They went into critical condition.
Oh, so it's over.
It's over for them. Oh, yeah.
Well, okay.
Is that about yachting?
Rick, the whole thing I wanted to see on this World Cup thing was just to, you know, how many people really got into this thing. So it was when it first started. I went down to the sports bar. And they were filing in at 11 o'clock to watch this stuff. And I said, you know, a lot of people like it. Now, the ratings are up, obviously, on TV for these things. And, you know, but you have to really, I guess, have it ingrained in you. There are a lot of kids that grow up now and play soccer. But, you know, I really hated it from the moment they forced me to play it in gym and I got kicked in a bad spot.
You know... Jesus God, that moment haunts us all. Sometimes it's that roping climbing class. Sometimes, here's the thing about soccer. I think Tom Likas was making this observation a while back. You know, the thing about soccer is nobody really wants to play soccer. Soccer's a thing that your parents force you into when you're a child. Or you do it because all of your other friends, their parents are forcing them to do it. But then it's like once you're in high school, you discover girls are just, you know, you learn the ability to say no to your parents. You just stop playing soccer. And you never go to another soccer game until you have children in the suburbs and you decide that between trips to the Starbucks and Applebee's, you need to take them to soccer games.
And that's it.
That's it.
Then you become a soccer mom.
It's true.
And I heard a funny story about it. In fact, Dick Uliano told me this one. He's in Washington, and he remembered his daughter was playing soccer. And he looked across to another field, and there were a bunch of kids playing baseball. And the mother said to him, oh, no, she says, baseball. She says, that takes too many skills. You have to use, you learn to hit and do all kinds of things. Soccer is great.
Baseball.
In other words, it was kind of a homogenized sport. It was pretty easy because you just kick it around.
So baseball is sort of the chess to the checkers of World Cup soccer.
Yeah.
Okay. Since this is heinously out of date apparently, and we did apparently lose. Let me read what the slug was though. This is from the CNN copy. In order to advance, the U.S. needs to beat Ghana. Now let me just tell you this. Here's a few things about Ghana. I don't know where it is. No one knows where it is. I don't know what they do there. I don't know what the people from Ghana look like. I don't know what they speak. I don't know what their currency is. I'm unclear about whether that's actually another planet. I know nothing about Ghana. And this is followed up by Italy needs to beat the Czech Republic. Now,
Italy won.
okay, really? And I'm glad, because here's the thing. You can't lose to a country where everybody is like living in, you know, they're all living inside like a burned out car. You know what I mean?
It's, well, they did.
If you lose to the Czech Republic, you're going to have to kill yourself. Your life is over.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
Where is Ghana, by the way?
Ghana's over in one of the African nations.
Okay, so we did lose?
We lost 2-1.
2-1 in a gripping, nail-biting finish, I'm sure.
You know, I put this thing on just now, just for the heck of it. Brazil is playing Japan, and they had I guess it was an ESPN today, some guy at ESPN, he says, here, let me be a soccer announcer. He goes, he kicks it to midfield. He kicks it back to midfield.
Yeah.
You know, they just on and on mocking it. But an AP guy had a really, really neat headline today. It was here today, Ghana tomorrow.
Ah, oh, wait, hold on. That's worthy of the, where's my little, there. Thank you. So if you happen to talk to anybody from soccer, dude, make the ball smaller. All right? Make the ball smaller. Make the goal bigger, one of the two, and then get back to me when that's taken care of.
Kick a golf ball around.
That's what I'm saying right there. Well, although Sarah actually knows. Did you say you had friends that were calling in sick? I'm not calling in sick. They were legitimately sick, but they were going to drink to the World Cup today?
Isn't that the thing? Yeah, so, they asked if I wanted to come over and watch it at their house at like 7 o'clock this morning.
That's how to capture the youth demo here in America. Just tie it into boozing somehow. If you can do that, tie it into some sort of self-abuse, my friend, the young people will follow like you're the Pied Piper of Hamelin.
7 o'clock, come on over. We have a keg.
That's
going to watch the game.
There you go. You heard it, kids. Party at Ed McCarthy's house.
That's right.
Ed McCarthy, enjoy the rest of your day, sir. Enjoy living in the glorious South. Enjoy the warmth and the hospitality and the fine culture, and we will talk to you soon.
97 right now.
Oh, see, why you got to lord that over us like that? Oh, it's not right.
7 degrees.
All right. Thank you, Ed. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Bye-bye, then.
All right. There you go. That's Ed McCarthy.
So those Ghanaian soccer players must be the only people in Africa who had something to eat today.
They ate one of the neighboring countries. 503-733-2970. That was Tim Riley who made that cultural observation, by the way.
By the way, it's now illegal to play pool during the day in Uganda, which is an East African country. It's banning it.
Really?
Because it's said to encourage crime. Young people often play pool while drinking, doing drugs, and planning robberies. Despite the daytime ban, folks are still allowed to shoot pool at night.
Okay. Well, as long as they got their priorities in order. Okay. Rick, about that big announcement coming up. Are you fired again? If not, I will check in tomorrow to see if you've been
fired.
We
don't get to make announcements about that.
I was going to say, that's the announcement you'll never hear. There's this saying in old Audie Murphy films. What is that, All Quiet on the Western Front? You never hear the bullet that kills you. Because it's like, you know, the movies here, they're ricocheting, the guy falls over. And there's this whole speech in All Quiet on the Western Front where the guy's going, kid, it ain't like that. It ain't like the movies where you hear the ricochet. You never hear the bullet that kills you, kid. One moment you're here, one moment you ain't. You're going back home and your mama's crying your name. You never hear the bullet, kid. That's kind of what it is with us. You're never really going to hear us go, hey, tomorrow, this is going to be a Spanish station, and I'll be at home crying. You're not going to hear that at all.
No, it's always a form that doesn't work, like, we'll call it Debbie, music for girls.
We'll call it The Wave. Yeah, that's what it'll be. I think they've about run the course of name stations, by the way. I'm not going to start a whole bit about name stations, but I think that's an experiment whose days may be waning. Waning. Wane. See, it's kind of... Here's Tim... Are we doing the City Desk here?
Yeah, we might as well.
Here's the City Desk with Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting. Well, thanks for everyone who filled out their resumes to become police chief of Portland, but Rosie Sizer, the temporary one, will get to keep the job after all. She was the commander of the Southeast Precinct. She has overseen police responses to protests downtown, including when the president was in Portland. She oversaw the shutdown of peace activists, those smelly people in front of City Hall for so long.
Really? Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, good for her.
She also received a written reprimand from, remember for a former police chief, Mark Kroger?
Hold on. She received a reprimand. Let me guess what it's for. Mm-hmm. Excessive use of force.
This is from officers who failed to investigate a downtown assault of two off-duty police officers in 2003.
Ah, okay.
She was promoted to commander in 2001 by then-Chief Croker. She's commanded the Central Precinct, served as head of the Detective Division, and worked with... And yes, she is married. She is the wife of former Multnomah County Sheriff Dan Noley, because people wondering, they weren't discussing her personal life, now you know. And she's the daughter of a 32-year-old, a 32-year veteran of the police bureau.
Okay. I was just saying that her hair was fairly short in the front and
fairly
long in the back.
That may be a regulation
that
ladies police...
Oh, wait, no, that's a different haircut. Can I see that?
Yeah, she looks much better now.
No, this is... Now, this, relatively speaking, this is not a bad photo of her.
No, she's a handsome lady.
This...
I'm going to attract you.
She's a sweet spirit.
It's only skin.
That's what my uncle used to tell me at night.
Okay, here's the story. Should we move along to the scary stalker story?
Dude, you move on to whatever you want. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't give a damn.
Okay.
This story is messed up.
This story is completely creepy. Not as creepy. Mm. Not as creepy as this one that I pulled this morning and then shredded because it was too disgusting to read on the air.
So pay close attention because there are no shortcuts to this at all.
Okay.
It's a long story.
All right.
A stalker hid under a woman's bed for 2 days just for the chance to be alone with her. How he got the keys to her house is the scariest part, and it's a serious reminder to all you ladies to be cautious before handing over your keys to who you think might be a gentleman.
Parking valet. Posed as a parking valet. Mm-hmm.
Well, the nightmare started at Holy Cross Hospital. This is in Washington, D.C., where the victim met her stalker who was working as a parking valet.
Yeah! Oh. That's what I'm talking about. The mind of a stalker, baby.
See, whenever anyone takes my car, I always just take off the car key.
Oh, hey, I never thought about that.
No, I always do. I'm a paranoid freak. I always just take off the car key, hand them that key.
I gave those guys at Courtesy Ford my whole ring last night. Well, I'm sorry. Okay. We'll never go home. House in flames.
You're so sweet and trusting.
The best part is how I immediately knew the best way to stalk a woman and get her keys. That's fantastic.
So he gets access to his keys, then takes that opportunity to get those keys copied. So that's something for everyone to think about. So her life dramatically changed. She was fearful when she hears strange noises and doesn't know where they come from.
Oh. Let's all imagine I wonder what those... Just conjure up in your own head right now what those noises might have been.
So this fellow named Carlos...
Gasping, wheezing kind of noise.
His name is Carlos Castellanos Fierra. He said, quote, "I fell madly in love, and that blinded my judgment. I beg your forgiveness."
So he lived under her bed.
Mm-hmm.
For how long?
Let's see here. 2 days.
Okay. And so he would... see, here's the worst part about this. I mean, there really are no good parts here. So he... All right, so
here comes the worst part.
Okay.
So Judge Herbert Dixon hands down a 3-year sentence, including treatment for mental illness and sex crimes.
Mm-hmm.
The court documents show this man had a change of clothes, condoms, a power cord, and latex gloves with him under the victim's bed at the time of his arrest.
Oh, no, that's gone to a
When
hole.
Investigators searched his home, they found vacation photos of his victim and a wedding video. They later determined the items were stolen from her ex-husband's home.
Isn't this just, you know, and it's an odd combination of items that is always more unnerving. Like, if a guy just has a gun, obviously you don't want a guy into your bed with a gun. But a guy has a gun and a knife, okay. Guys under the bed with some, you know, a roll of duct tape, that's fine. But it's when he's got, like, roses and a bone saw. I mean, that's kind of when you're just... That's when your brain just begins to fold in on itself a little bit and everything just sort of goes a fuzzy gray. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm now, just waiting for you to continue. I'm waiting for the next shoe to drop.
The disturbing video shows the convicted stalker carefully hiding his video camera on a desk in the victim's bedroom.
Oh, and he filmed her.
When he hears the woman and her boyfriend come into the apartment, he disappears under the bed. He remained there for 2 days until he was discovered by the victim's boyfriend.
Oh, so they're having sex, and he's filming it, and he's 6 inches away the whole time under the bed, no doubt engaged in some sort of sordid activity. Okay, here's the... You know the terrifying thing about this story?
What?
Apart from the under the bed and the condoms and the... What was it? Electrical
cable?
And
the power cord?
And the power cord.
Power cord, latex gloves.
And condoms.
That's to power the weed trimmer. The worst part about this story, the very worst part about this, is that you go through several stages as a young child in America, and then you grow into an adult, and every child goes through the... Mommy, there's a monster under my bed stage. And then what do your parents do? Your parents, they take you by the hand, they sit you down, they talk to you in soothing, consoling, dulcet tones of voice, and they say, "No, sweetie, there's nobody under your bed. Those things don't really happen." And so you wander off into the life that you have chosen for yourself, innocent, ready to take on the day, ready to go out and be the best you can be. And then a goddamn guy lives under your bed with a knife and a roll of electrical tape and a camera for 3 days. It ain't right. There's nothing right about that at all. All right, so there you go. The worst part, beyond the bone saw and the whatever, the hiding and the... is the notion that for 3 days, he's wandering around the house while you're at work. So you're at work, that guy's going through every drawer you have. He's opening every can of anything that's in any of the cupboards. Undoubtedly while nude and in some sort of a state of excitement. That's a thing.
You got to stop saying state of excitement or doing sordid things under the bed. That's just wrong.
I'm speculating as a journalist. It's my duty and obligation.
What, to paint like the most terrible picture you can?
That's not even close to the most terrible picture.
We're trying to teach people a lesson here.
I'm trying to say that you're all doomed and that there are men living underneath all of your beds. It was like that long discussion about your roommates going through your underwear drawer. I'm not saying they were doing it. All I'm saying is you got to be, you know, one has to be aware of the possibilities. It's not all the Mary Tyler Moore theme song out there for you girls. It's not all just hat throwing and color coordinated beige wardrobes. The best part was the single laugh in the background. That's what sold that right there.
That's the studio audience.
Hey, this, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. You just pick a microphone here.
Please,
I guess you can
start.
I'll take them both. I'll take Tim's and Sarah's.
Oh, whoa, that's weird.
Oh. Is it coming across?
Yeah, out of phase there.
Okay, please. Put one in like left channel and one in right channel.
This is an AM station. We don't really have channels.
Oh, that's right.
Whoa, you've got to. All right.
You got to pick one.
I'm good now.
All right, I think I'm deaf.
Thanks, Tim. There you go.
All right, let's.
Is that all you have to say?
Yes.
That's it. I'm out, guys.
Let's welcome
now
to
the talk show.
To the Rick Emerson Show from our sister station, Rock 101 KUFO.
Yeah, that's right.
The only station in Portland really rocks?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Tim Savage, and you do, it's what, 9 to midnight?
Yeah.
9 to midnight nights on KUFO.
The worst shift possible.
Except
for overnights.
How long have you been in radio?
Almost 8 years.
Oh,
don't all the hot chicks call you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
No, there are worse shifts. I mean, there are worse shifts, and at least you're working in a, you know, good format.
Yeah.
9 to 11, or 9 to, you know, midnight, and I don't think you kids say AOR anymore, but it's active rock.
Yeah.
9 to midnight on a rock station, that's fine, that's one thing. 9 to midnight on, like, a country gold station, you know, in, like, Akron. That's nowhere still, man.
Indonesia.
Yeah, in the city of tires.
Yeah, you don't want to be doing that.
I'm going to be, that's what my next goal is, to be doing 9 to midnight in, you know, in a resort town in Indiana.
Yeah, that's where all the, you should just do a show from underneath Sarah's bed for a few days. That's clearly where all of the, anyway, we should talk about this. So now, as we've been saying, AM 970, Solid State Radio, there's brand new, exciting things happening. We've got a big announcement, by the way, that we're going to make next hour. It will be happening at 2:20 today. Let us not forget that at 2:20 today, I'm making a big announcement about this radio station.
Wow.
And some of the program, everybody knows we got Stephanie Miller, who's going to be starting in mornings, Monday, 6 to 9. She's going to be on the show tomorrow with us, by the way. But coming up next hour at 2:20, we'll be making a big announcement about the lineup of this radio station.
I know what it is.
Do we? Oh, that's right. Yeah. You got the mailing. Yeah, you got the.
I know what it is.
Well, there's this whole saying in the
3
building.
3 hours a night of mystery sound.
There's this mystery sound theater. There's this whole saying in the building about the don't let them read it in the trades, which is people. There's nothing that gets people pecking away their resumes faster than when they start to see programming changes in the trades before they get the email about it in the building.
Oh yeah.
So I made sure to send it out this morning. But so you are going to be doing though a weekend show here.
Yeah.
Saturdays, four to six.
4 to 6, starting Saturday.
Beginning this Saturday. What will the, is it going to be called the Tim Savage Experience?
I don't know.
Realize that I don't really care. There may be other program directors in this market who don't wish for you to use that name on this radio station.
That's the name that I used on KUFO, the Tim Savage Experience.
They may wish to distance themselves ever so slightly from some of the activities and attitudes presented on this frequency.
How about the Saturday Showcase?
How about Tradio?
Yeah. I could use the Timnasium.
Timnasium?
Yeah.
I do like that.
That's genius.
Timnasium.
Have you used that? Have you stolen that from somebody? It's fine if you have.
No, that's mine. That's mine also.
Dude, have you got that registered as a URL?
As a matter of fact, I do.
That's
Timnasium.com.
Okay, you got to do that.
Go right there now, Sarah. Go to Timnasium.com, yeah. It's like gymnasium, but with my name.
So, what topics will be covered in this program?
What can folks who tune into Timnasium?
See, that's kind of like the you know, the issue that I'm kind of working on, which I should probably step
up. It's still in a state of flux.
Yeah, because it's only 2 days away.
Uh-huh.
But I'm just going to kind of do it. I mean, I consider it right now, it's going to be the audio equivalent of a hermaphrodite winning strip poker at a large party. And when that final, everybody's just going to be, huh? And it's going to be really awkward, and nobody's really going to know what to do for a while. And then it'll kind of sink in.
So Ann Coulter's the guest.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well, so, if this program has taught us anything, it is that a careful preparation and paying careful and close attention to the programming matrix every day, that is the key to success in radio.
I've been marking your every move, and I'm watching you, and and so far I've got like notes written down like, spin around every once in a while and back away from the microphone.
Randomly spit on microphone.
Yeah. And
spill something.
You know, play some sort of creepy mystery sound.
Yes.
And that's it, man. I'm set.
There you go. Well, what else do you really need? That's it. That's all you need.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know
that
what I think I'm going to do is play it backwards. Mm. Just to put an extra edge. My own Tim Savage experience edge.
Now, are you going to be taking phone calls from the people?
I'll try. I get the feeling nobody will be listening to me, but...
Let me urge you now. I'm beseeching everyone now. I will be listening. And I don't mean that in the sense of like, I'll be sure to listen. It's like when you're on the... So you go to a bar, a club or whatever, you're on the... Whatever. Like in L.A., this happens all the time. You're on the street and a guy comes up, hey, my band is playing a showcase. And you go, I'll be sure to... You crumple into the trash. Yeah.
And you collect two dozen other cards by the time you hit your destination.
Seriously, that's like the DJ that, I'll try to get that on for you. Stained, I'll get right on that. Mm-hmm, sure. Wait, no, it's coming up. No, really. No, honestly. No, this music is, I pick it myself. No, yes.
Yeah.
But I really will be listening. I encourage everyone to listen.
I'll be listening.
Now people who listen to the Rick Emerson Show, they know that we are typically very, very, how do I put this? We are very... The compliments and or positive statements that we make about people who work in music radio are few and far between. And that's not out of a sense of bitterness. It's not out of a sense of anything other than the fact that most people who work in music radio are terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Most music radio shows are crap. That's only because 90% of everything is crap. I'm just saying 90% of everything, every format, every frequency, every radio station, everywhere, most of everything in this world is garbage.
90% of matter is crap.
That's what I'm saying. Your show, though, is funny.
Even listened. You were telling me the other day,
dude,
I've never actually heard you.
That is entirely untrue. I heard your demo. I heard your scoped reel.
Yeah.
No, I heard your reel, and then I have listened to you several times. Now, I've never listened to the entire 3 hours all the way through, I gotta tell you, but I have tuned in.
I check out by 11 anyway.
I have sampled the program, as they say, and it is amusing.
Thank you.
I LOL'd. So, So I would...
R-O-F-L-A-M-O-A. Right on. Saturday, 4 to 6.
Wit will be on display this Saturday.
Which, by the way, I need to ask you how I can, like, actually record that so that after...
What do you mean?
So I can record.
Like on a machine?
Like, for what?
So I can actually prove, like, hey, yeah, they actually let me on the air for 2 hours.
Like, what would you possibly want to record it for?
So I can get a job somewhere else.
Oh, I remember those days. I remember having that spark. I remember having that hope in myself. This job will get me a job somewhere else.
Yeah.
Tim, have you ever air checked yourself here?
No, but other people have. I don't have one myself to hand to someone.
Where would working on this show possibly get us a job?
You've also been in radio long enough, though, where it's kind of like solidified in your mind that it actually might work out for you in the long run, whereas
those little pauses seem to be ever so longer with the loss of every job. It used to be a couple months, then it's 3, then it's 6, then it's 8.
And then eventually you're checking if the phone's plugged in. Clint, I know, I faxed it up to R&R today, willing to relocate. Ah, Christ. Yeah, I haven't... I can't even remember the last time I sat down and I better update this resume because this job is gold. Everyone will be clamoring for WNEW. Will be calling any moment now.
Well, I hope things work out for you.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. Well, you're still young. You still have your whole life ahead of you. You are not a broken, embittered man like so many of us in this room. So
yeah,
but you got to listen. It's Timnasium.
Whatever, yeah. Well, no, I'm sure I'll, like, figure it out, like, somewhere in the first hour.
No, it's Timnasium.
Timnasium, is that it?
Timnasium.
That's it, huh?
People will remember that, my friend. Timnasium, it's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. this coming Saturday, here on AM 970. And if you want to check out what this fine young man does, 9 to midnight tonight, right? Every Monday through Friday on KUFO.
Yeah.
So there you go. And you got a website?
Is
it really Timnasium.com?
Okay. Timnasium.com. You can also go to myspace.com/Timnasium.
It's the best thing I've ever heard. Really, it is.
I was looking to see if the name was registered. Like, there's got to be somebody, because Tim Savage has taken, even like, you know, other weird extensions like Tim Savage on the radio and stuff that you wouldn't think people had. And I'm like, there's no way.
Tim Savage.zd.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're all right.
Tim Savage.fm / you know, nude.
Something. Yeah.
Raccoons. And, you know, I thought.
You're going to fit in just fine here, by the way.
I thought for sure Timnasium would be taken, and it wasn't, and now I'm just, like, wasting time.
Excellent. So, welcome to my world.
Thank you.
All right. I wouldn't know anything about that.
One big fiesta for illegal aliens and homosexuals.
Okay. I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break here. Tim Savage, check him out tonight, 9 to midnight on KUFO, the only station in Portland that really rocks. And he will be on this coming Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Timnasium, live from Portland and from Portland. That is this Saturday, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Tim Savage, kids. All right, back after this. We'll be taking clarifying questions about the mystery sound. More from the City Desk. Top 5. And at 2:20, a big announcement about this very fine radio station. You stay there. Here's the Ramones. Don't go anywhere.